Have you ever wondered if God still heals today? Have you ever wondered if healing could be for you? Stay tuned and we'll find out. Welcome to Charis Daily. My name is Barry Bennett. I'm an instructor here at Charis Bible College in Woodland Park, Colorado, and I'm going to be with you for a few minutes, and we're going to be talking about healing. Healing is such an important subject, and so many are confused on this subject, and many are frustrated, and I understand that. We need to understand probably two main things. Where did sickness come from, and is there a remedy for sickness? And so I hope to give you something to think about, to pray over. A word from God that healing is for you. God has provided healing for you. All of the suffering in the world is not from God. The suffering in the world comes from Adam and Eve and their sin in the Garden of Eden. That unleashed the darkness in this world. It unleashed death. Sickness is incipient death, or sickness is death in its first stages. Every sickness has but one purpose, to try to end your life. Our body can fight off most sicknesses or many sicknesses, but there are some that the body is mortal and it can't fight everything off. But there is another remedy. We have God. We have the Word of God. We have the Spirit of God. We have the provision of God's grace to bring healing to our bodies in this life. And that is so important to believe. It's so important to know, because most of us, if not all of us, have gone through some period of sickness. And you don't like to be sick. Sickness steals your time. It steals relationships. It steals your money. It steals your attitude. It steals everything. And so we need to know, is there some kind of a divine remedy for these kinds of attacks in our life? And I'm here to tell you there is a remedy. Now, a lot of Christians believe that God uses sickness, or God sends sickness, or God is somehow involved in your sickness to chastise you, to discipline you. But I want to give you some relief from that right now. Let's go to 2 Timothy 3:16-17. 2 Timothy 3:16-17. It says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Now, I'm sharing this, and you're saying, what's this have to do with sickness? What this is saying is that the Word of God is what God uses to correct us, to instruct us, to teach us, to exhort us. The Word of God is the method God uses to bring perfection into your life, or to take you from a carnal, soulish person into a spiritual dimension of life in which you'll find abundant life. God doesn't use sickness. God doesn't need sickness. Sickness never came from God to begin with. It came from Adam and Eve's sin. And so if you think, well, God is chastising me, or God is correcting me with sickness, that's incorrect. That is not right. God doesn't need sickness. If we say sickness perfects us, then what is the Word for? What is the Spirit for? Why do we have the Word and the Spirit if sickness can do the job? No, sickness isn't there to correct you. Sickness is there to kill you. And we've got to understand God is not the perpetrator of sickness in our lives. Sickness comes from a fallen world. It comes from genetics. It comes from diet. It comes from the environment. It comes from lifestyle choices. There are all kinds of ways that sickness can come. But the way healing comes is from the Word of God. It comes from God Himself. It comes from the very nature of God. So I want to look at this. We're answering the question, is healing for you? And there are some of you watching right now, and you're probably thinking, I don't know, or I sure hope so, or what's this guy talking about? So I'm going to introduce some of this to you as we go through this study. I want to first talk about God's heart. If we don't understand the heart of God, if we don't have the right perception of God, if we don't see God for who He truly is, then we're going to always be in this world of fuzziness of, is God for me? Is God against me? I don't know. Well, to understand God's heart, we need to go see Jesus. We need to look at Jesus. We need to see how Jesus ministered, because He is the full expression of God. He is the Word made flesh. Everything Jesus did is a manifestation of God in flesh for humanity. All right, so let's go. I want to start with you in Matthew 14:14. We're just going to look at a few verses to try to understand God's heart for people, God's heart for you. In Matthew 14:14, it says, "And when Jesus went out, he saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion for them and healed their sick." Now, that's just such a great verse, because so many teach healing as step one, step two, step three, or you've got to do this right, or if you do this wrong, you're not a candidate for healing. And I don't see that when I see the Gospels and I see how Jesus healed. He simply saw a multitude. He didn't interview anybody. He didn't ask them why they were sick, or if they sinned, or did they have bitterness in their heart? Did they have unforgiveness in their heart? He didn't ask 20 questions. He simply saw the multitude. He saw suffering people. And Jesus, as an expression of God in the flesh, had compassion. It says he had compassion for them and healed their sick. Just compassion. It's healing for you. Well, if you had been in the crowd that day, yes, he would have had compassion on you. And you might say, well, you just don't know what I've done, or you don't know my story. You don't know. It doesn't matter. The compassion of God is bigger than the desperation of men and the acts of men, the sins of men. The compassion of God is bigger than that. And so even if your sickness is a result of your own activity, the compassion, the grace, the mercy of God is still available to you to be healed right now. This is the power of God's love, God's compassion, God's grace, God's word can heal you as you watch this. Let's talk some more about his compassion. Let's go to Lamentations. Lamentations 3, 22 and 23. It's a great verse, or two verses. Lamentations 3, 22 and 23 says, "Through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed." Praise God. It says, "Because his compassion fails not. They are new every morning." What is new every morning? His mercies and his compassion. His mercies and compassion are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Now, this is an Old Testament verse, but it's describing the heart of God. And then we see this played out with Jesus. He comes and sees a multitude of people suffering. And what moved him to heal them? Not them checking every box, have I done everything right? They've done everything wrong, probably. And yet he had compassion and healed their sick. This is God's heart for us. This is such a big subject. We could talk about this for days, for weeks. The heart of God for people. God so loved the world that he sent Jesus. And here's Jesus seeing a multitude that he was sent to, having compassion on them and healing them with no questions asked. No questions asked. This is so important that we grasp this, because religion typically has put us in a different category of unworthiness, unrighteousness. Who knows what God's going to do? You never know what God's going to do. God may have made me sick on purpose. Religion teaches a lot of that foolishness, and that's why so many Christians and others are suffering. They don't have the right picture of God in their heart. They don't see a God of compassion. They don't see a God of mercies that are new every morning. Mercy means you don't deserve it, but you do. He does it anyway. His mercies are new every morning. His compassion fails not. Great is thy faithfulness. We are dealing with a God that loves us, a God that is so interested in seeing us made whole, spirit, soul, and body. Not just your spirit, but also you live in this earth, on this earth in a body that God cares for, that Jesus died to heal. By his stripes, we've been healed. And so getting our minds wrapped around this, and better, getting our hearts wrapped around this, is going to get you into a place to receive not what you deserve, but mercy, compassion. That's the heart of God for you. God has compassion. Amen. Let's talk about God's will for your healing. God's will doesn't change from one day to the next. God's will is eternal. It is determined. It is always the same thing. There's another verse that talks about all of his promises, 2 Corinthians 1:20. All of his promises are yes and amen. They're not yes and then maybe, and then not today. No, they're always yes and amen. All of the promises of God, all of the declarations, all of the revelation of what redemption has done for us, all of that is always yes. Praise God. That's why the woman with the issue of blood could go up behind Jesus in Mark chapter 5. Go up behind Jesus. He's surrounded by a throng of people. And she touches the hem of his garment in faith because she believed in his goodness, in his compassion, in his mercy. And she was instantly healed without Jesus even actively participating, because he's always yes and amen. The power of God is always available to those who touch him in faith, or in our case, believe him, and believe that we receive when we pray. His compassion, his mercy is new every morning. So what is his will for your healing? Here's a great passage in Mark chapter 1, 40 and 42 says, "Now a leper came to him, imploring him, kneeling down to him and saying to him, 'If you are willing,'" this is the only time in Scripture where somebody asks him if he's willing, "'if you are willing, you can make me clean.'" So he knows he can do it, but he's not sure if he will do it. And that's where many Christians are today. We know God could heal if he wanted to, but since I'm not healed, he must not want to. We come up with all kinds of foolish arguments and foolish debate points. This says, "If you are willing, you can make me well. You can make me clean." Then Jesus, moved with compassion, there it is again. Jesus moved with compassion, stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, "I am willing, be cleansed." It's not, "I'm willing today because it's Tuesday," or "I'm willing tonight because it's Thursday night." "I'm willing all the time. This is why I came." He just had compassion on a multitude we saw a moment ago. So a leper comes to him and asks him specifically, "I know you can do this if you're willing." So he doesn't have the assurance in his heart. And Jesus didn't even rebuke that lack of faith. His mercies are new every morning. This is a good word. His mercies, his compassion are new every morning. They don't fade. They don't get old. And so if he will do this for the leper, who wasn't even sure, he'll do this for you. In fact, he's already done this for you, and he's done this for me. It's just a matter of us plugging in to this mercy and this compassion. So he said, "I am willing, be cleansed." And verse 42 says, "As soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed." This is such a powerful, powerful revelation here, is that even in his uncertainty, the compassion of Jesus was more than enough. He knew God was able, but he wasn't sure he was willing. And Jesus demonstrated to the only person that ever asked this question in the New Testament, he demonstrated his will. Yes and amen. "I am willing. Be cleansed." Multitude. No interviews, no checklists, no principles, no step one, step two, step three. He just had compassion and he healed them. Is healing for you? Yes, it's for you. It's for me. We need it. We need the mercy of God in our lives. You need his compassion. Healing is for you, and we need to get this settled in our heart. So let's dig a little deeper now. All right? Let's go to Matthew 9, 2 through 7. Matthew 9, 2 through 7. A little bit longer passage here, but this is such an important point. It says, "Then behold, they brought to him a paralytic lying on a bed. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, 'Son, be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven you.'" Now, if I was the guy on the stretcher and they carried me into the presence of Jesus and I'm lying there and I'm there because I want to be healed, and he says, "Your sins are forgiven," I would say, "Yeah, great, big deal. That's not why I came." In other words, that doesn't compute with me. I'm suffering. I need healing. I don't care about sins. But that's the first thing Jesus said, which is incredibly important for us to understand. He says, "Son, be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven you." Moving into verse 3, "And at once some of the scribes said within themselves," so there were other unbelievers there, scribes and Pharisees and people criticizing Jesus. "They said within themselves, 'This man blasphemes.' But Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, 'Why do you think evil in your hearts?'" So their attitude against Jesus and against healing and against being forgiven is specifically, their attitude is one of criticism, one of cynicism. They don't believe this. "This man blasphemes," but Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, "Why do you think evil in your hearts? For which is easier, to say, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Arise and walk?'" Interesting that Jesus doesn't say which one is harder. He says, which one is easier? They're both easy. One of them's maybe a little easier, but or maybe they're the same. Which one is easier? Your sins are forgiven, or rise up and walk? Well, your sins are forgiven is kind of an invisible thing to the naked eye, the natural eye. You can't see if someone's sins are forgiven, but he just forgave this guy's sins. So which is easier, to say that, which they didn't like, the Pharisees and scribes didn't like that, or to say, rise up and walk? Well, that's a very tangible, visible thing. Now, today in today's church, it's very easy to say your sins are forgiven, but very few are willing to step out and say, rise up and walk. But that is the mercy of God, the will of God, the heart of God. Here's the point. Well, let me finish the story here. Verse 6, but that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins. Then he said to the paralytic, arise, take up your bed and go to your house. And he arose and departed to his house. He got up. Why? How? What happened? He didn't take 3 years of Bible college. He didn't have tons of faith teaching. All he heard was the word of Jesus, take up your pallet, your sins are forgiven, which didn't probably register with him. Rise up, take up your pallet and go home. And he did. How is this possible? It's possible because sins being forgiven is what breaks the power of sickness. Sickness, if we want to put it this way, sin is the root and sickness is a fruit. Just like if you have a flower growing or you have a vegetable or a fruit growing, there's a root that gives place to the fruit. But if you kill the root, you've killed the fruit. May not always happen instantly, but it will happen because if the root is dead, that which is growing from that root has no chance. It's already dead by decree. It's going to die. It's going to wither up. When Jesus said to the paralytic, your sins are forgiven, what he was saying is, I'm dealing with the root. If I've dealt with the root, the fruit's gone. Rise up and walk. Now, what about us? We're asking the question, is healing for you? Are your sins forgiven? Now, if you're not even sure, then you need some more teaching. I don't have time to do all of that teaching, but if you have believed in Jesus, your sins are forgiven. They have been forgiven. It's past tense. In fact, it says you've been made the righteousness of God in Christ. And in 2 Corinthians 5:21, you've been made the righteousness of God in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says you've been made a new creation. You're righteous. You're forgiven. Not only are you forgiven, God has chosen to live in you. All right, what does all this have to do with healing? If you've been made righteous, if you've been forgiven, the root has been dealt with. And the fruit of sickness has no authority to stay. I don't care if you're still sinning. I don't care if you just yelled at the dog or yelled at your spouse. I don't care if you just got a ticket for speeding. It doesn't matter what you've done. Are you forgiven? You don't earn forgiveness. By grace, we are saved through faith. It's not of ourselves. It's a gift of God. Are you forgiven? All right? Do you see that in your heart? Are you forgiven? Are you righteous? Are you clean before God? If the answer is yes, and it should be if you're a believer, if the answer is yes, that means sickness has no right in your body. Get up, walk, do what you couldn't do, see it, receive it, believe it. You can be healed. God's healing is for you. It's not based on you. It's based on compassion. It's based on his willingness. It's based on his forgiveness. We've just seen three major things here. He has compassion on the sick. What this means to me is everyone that Jesus healed had been pre-forgiven. In other words, Jesus is announcing the kingdom and he's walking among multitudes and they're all forgiven. Because he is bringing the kingdom into them. That's why they all got healed. They don't get healed if they're not forgiven. The two go hand in hand. There's a great Psalm 103, verses 1 through 5, that talks about who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases. They always are linked together. Why? Because the fruit needs a root. Sickness needs an authority. Sin is the authority. But if we deal with sin, we've dealt with sickness. Amen. That's why we can say healing is for you. It's for you. It's for you right now. Sometimes people just, the weight lifts as they hear they've been forgiven. They're a new creation. They've been made righteous. God loves them. He has compassion. His mercies are new right now. And you hear that, and many times you can just let out a deep breath and you're healed. You're healed. Now, your body may respond immediately or it may respond over time, but if you can know this in your heart, then you can know, I'm healed. I am healed. I have lived this. This is how healing happens. It's basically a revelation of the gift of righteousness, that you're forgiven, and the mercy of God, the compassion of God. He wants you well. He's not making you sick. He's not trying to teach you something through sickness. His word teaches you. His word corrects you if you need that. Sickness is not in God's tool bag, okay? He's not trying to make you sick for some reason. He's trying to make you well. He died to make you well. Amen. And he dealt with the root. And the root is sin. This, if the root's been dealt with, the fruit is dealt with. Amen. Let's go to 1 John 2:12. 1 John 2:12. And John, one of the apostles, John, is writing a letter many years later, and he says, I write to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. It's not about how good you are. It's for Jesus. Jesus went to the cross for you. Your sins are forgiven because of him. Your sins are forgiven because of Jesus. And if Jesus was demonstrating the compassion of God on the earth, how much more that he now lives in you? If you're born again, he lives in you. And his compassion, his mercies are new every morning. I like that one. I get up every morning. This is a new day. Whatever happened yesterday, that's gone. His mercies are new. His compassion is new. His love for me is refreshed all the time. Though my outward man might be perishing with age, mortality, my inner man is being renewed day by day. Mortality doesn't have to include sickness. You don't have to die sick. You just, when you're finished on this earth, you just give up the ghost. You just go. You don't have to be sick. You might be old, but you don't have to be sick. Amen. He has forgiven us. Let's read another one here. 1 John 2:2. 1 John 2:2. Speaking of Jesus, it says, and he himself is the propitiation. Let me stop there. The propitiation, I mean, he is the sin offering, the sin sacrifice. He himself is the propitiation for our sins, meaning believers, and not for ours only, but also for the sins or for the whole world. Or in other words, when Jesus died, he didn't just die for a few people. He died for the sins of the whole world. He became sin. It says in 2 Corinthians in 5:21, he became sin that we might be made righteous. Oh, praise God. This has everything to do with your healing. You've got to see yourself forgiven. You've got to see your sins wiped away as far as the east is from the west. You've got to see you are clean in the eyes of God. You can stand before the throne of grace right now because of Jesus, not because of you, because of Jesus. It's just a gift. And when that gets settled in your heart, then it's very easy to receive the rest of the gift. And in this case, we're talking about healing. Healing is your gift. It's your right. It's your inheritance. Your sins are forgiven. Take up your pallet. Go home. Get up out of your bed. Get up out of your chair. Your sins are forgiven. You have every right to be healed. You have every right to expect your body to respond to this. Your body's just waiting for a superior revelation to come into your heart, superior to the revelation of sickness. Most people dwell on their sickness, dwell on their symptoms, dwell on everything that's wrong with them, and they stay locked in that box. If you'd start meditating on the goodness of God, on the power of God, on the love of God, the compassion, the mercy of how much he loves you, that Jesus died for you, if you would meditate on that, your body is going to respond. It's going to take on that new nature. It's going to be healed. Amen. This is good stuff. Praise God. I hope you're getting blessed by this. Let's do one more verse here. Matthew 10, verse 8. In Matthew 10, Jesus is ordaining his disciples, we'll say, or commissioning his disciples to go out into the surrounding villages and pueblos and different places and preach the kingdom. And so he's got 12, and then later he does this with 70 more. Jesus is very interested in healing. All these people are going out to bring healing to the sick. And it says in Matthew 10:8, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons, and then this is the part I love. Freely you have received, freely give. Now, pay attention. You didn't earn this, disciples. It was given to you freely. And the people that you're going to go minister to, they don't have to earn it either. You don't have to select who's worthy to be healed. Just heal everybody. Freely you received, go freely heal them. Freely give it. That's the gospel. This is the gospel. The good news is that I can't earn it. You can't earn it. I can't make myself good enough to earn healing. I could change, maybe I need to change things in my lifestyle. Maybe I need to make different decisions. Maybe I need to clean up my act. But that doesn't stop God's mercy and compassion. It's still new every morning. It's still there. It's still yes and amen, always. And that's the thing we need to get into our heart. The question is healing for you. Yes, it's free. Just like salvation is free. Well, it wasn't free for Jesus. He became sin. But the gift is free. And you receive salvation. You receive forgiveness. You can receive the joy of the Lord. You can receive the peace that passes understanding. All of that is in the package. It's in the Spirit of God in you. All the blessings, all the promises, all of the good things of God are available, and they're free. And then he says, freely give. So ministers that minister healing are seeing themselves as a vessel of something that is free. Well, the minister isn't making you well. The minister is just making you aware of the fact that wellness is there for you. Just believe it and receive it. Freely we have received, freely we can give. And this is the gospel. This will bless you. This will set you free. If you would understand that it's not about, if you only knew what I did, it doesn't matter what you did. Jesus knew what you did when he went to the cross before you were even born. He already knew this. Well, what if I have unforgiveness in my heart? Well, that's not good. I'm not going to preach in favor of that, but that doesn't stop the healing power of God. The only thing that'll stop the healing power of God is your unbelief. If you don't believe this, this is going to be a problem. But if you'll believe the gospel, healing is for you. Oh, praise God. I hope you've gotten something from this today. I want to encourage you to get involved with our Gospel Truth Network, GTN, we call it. We have so much available for you. There's a website, the GTN, Caris Daily, GTN.com. Caris Daily, GTN.com. You can go there. We have free product. We have other resources for you. We have a lot of things going on to bless you. We want you to get involved. We are on 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, different kinds of programming for you, Bible studies and entertainment and other things as well. This network is going to bless you. Please get in touch. Get involved with what God is doing. God bless you. Have a great day.